All right, welcome to Cosmic Disclosure. I'm your host, David Wilcock, and we're here because you need to know. We have Corey Good here, and even as I'm asking him questions, I'm learning many new things. We've been describing the settlement of Mars by originally the Germans, but the Germans were not the first ones to go there. There's been many, many groups there. As we're going to talk about more in this episode, we're going to get into all the different types of life on Mars, because that is a huge subject. So, Corey, thanks for being back on the show.
Sure.
First of all, you had mentioned before in previous episodes something about vegetation on Mars. Could you just briefly give us an overview of what you saw? What did you actually, did you walk around on the surface? Did you see any plant type of life?
Personally, what I saw were kind of colonies of shrubs that were in an area where we were building an outpost. And these were very hardy, short, and almost cactusy-like shrubs that were purple and red, the thick, stalks that went into the ground. And it went off into sharp, they had sharp, pointy leaves that were very sharp.
What part was purple and what part was red?
Well, the stalk was purple and red. And then the leaves were also purple and red. And the there were thorns on the stalk of the plant and on the branches of the plants. They were not something you could stick your hand in. They were very prickly, I guess you would say.
So in the previous episode, we were talking about an indigenous, a possibly indigenous Mars race.
Right.
You said they look similar to us.
Mm-hmm.
What type of race on Earth would they look similar to? What type of human?
The description was that they had a reddish tone. They wore robes. They were very skittish and kept to themselves. And that the ones that had been captured or interrogated claimed to be indigenous, that they were always from Mars. That's where they originated. But the people that had interrogated them were unclear whether this was true, because they had been deceived in the past by beings on Earth that had told us that they were extraterrestrials when they had actually been ancient Earth civilization breakaway groups. So,
right.
And some of these groups, since they had been spacefaring groups, obviously could have gone to Mars and set up colonies. And these could have been remnants of some of them.
Let's go back now to the Germans arriving there for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that you personally witnessed flying over ancient pyramids that were still on Mars today.
Partially exposed pyramids.
Did they take any interest in that kind of stuff when they got there? Did they want to land on it or explore it? I would think the interest would be insatiable to want to excavate it and find out what it is and all that stuff.
The only interest that was shown was looking for technology, ancient technology. Mm-hmm. But again, you have to remember, certain areas are very off limits to people, especially back then. The races that were there are very territorial. So if they wanted to visit something, they had to stop, take some pictures, samples, and then scoot and get out. That was a part of the equation of them doing close research on a lot of areas of Mars as well, because the area was considered territory of another group.
Did you ever encounter any information specifically regarding the face on Mars, whether it was artificial, who built it, anything like that?
No. During my time there, I was not aware of the face of, on Mars.
Oh.
So I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I did not see it. I did not hear it talked about.
So we were starting to get into last time that the Germans settled near the poles, but more in sort of like a taiga rather than a tundra type of land. They're not in the Arctic area, but they're in that sort of permafrost.
More of a Goldilocks area between the very inhospitable equatorial region and the very harsh area of the polar regions.
So what are the temperature extremes in those areas? What's the low and what's the high?
Because of the atmospheric pressure and also dependent on the season of where you were. But the temperatures could change 40, 50 degrees in a matter of hours.
Oh, wow.
I don't remember exactly the temperatures that were on the surface of Mars. I just know that it's definitely warmer than what the statistics on the internet are. One of the things that I wanted to mention were now, current era, the space programs are very careful about cross-contamination of germs, bacteria, that kind of thing, going from one planetary sphere to another one. Back in the 30s and 40s and early 50s, not so much. And especially the Germans, they were bringing crates and crates of supplies and instruments and all the different things they needed to Mars. And they brought some very annoying pests. They brought along cockroaches, rats.
Really?
And other spiders, other earthly pests that have become a problem on Mars and have contaminated. The rats have gotten a little bit bigger, but survived just fine out on the surface. But the cockroaches have become huge, like bigger than your hand, huge.
Oh, my gosh.
People joke around that cockroaches can survive a nuclear war. And surviving on the surface of Mars is not a problem for them.
Are there indigenous insects that the rats could eat? I mean, what do you think their food supply was?
I don't know. I'm sure there were probably insects there because I know there were very large spiders. I just didn't read or experience any myself.
Right.
This insectoid group being... group of beings, they use a biological kind of technology to where they create smaller bugs or insectoids to do certain tasks.
Hmm.
So,
like clones or something.
Yeah, but they'll create like smaller insects, insect-like drones if they're doing battle or they're having, they're in a warfare type situation, they create, that's a part of their technology. It's kind of a biological technology.
Right. So they can control what these drones do,
mm-hmm.
like a remote control?
Yes. And these are more of a hive mind kind of, a true hive mind. A lot of people... they think they know what a hive mind is when they really don't. But they have a hive mind and more of a insect kind of colony type of structure.
Did the Germans bring vehicles that use rubber tires and wheels
Gasoline.
To drive around?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Like jeeps or tanks or what were they driving?
They had developed... special vehicles that were pretty much like built on tank chassis that were pressurized and, of course, armored, always armored with the Germans.
Yeah.
And that they used for going on excursions.
Would they try to go into caves and look for technology, artifacts?
I know that they were always going on expeditions looking for technology, looking for different resources on the planet, constantly exploring, looking for different resources especially. The only time caves ever came up were when they tried to explore ways, routes into these lava tubes to do reconnaissance missions to try to get an idea of how they could someday take over these lava tubes.
You said that raw materials were transported to Mars by the Germans using a primitive portal technology that was very hazardous to biological life. How big was this portal? Could they get those tank-type vehicles? Could they build them here and just portal them in?
Yes, this is in the beginning when they were exploiting the natural portal system that exists in our solar system. And they didn't realize the calculations involved and the positions of certain planets, other bodies around. There are a lot of calculations involved. They actually ended up having a hyperdimensional mathematics handed over to them by another race that helped with these calculations. And I saw this math used quite often, and there were very few numbers in them. There were all kinds of weird symbols, but they were written out on boards just like math equations are.
But just to answer the question then, did they have the means to portal in something the size of a tank?
Absolutely, yeah.
Really?
They could multiple tanks.
Really? So it was large enough to get multiple tanks in all at once?
Yeah, they could get a battleship up there if they wanted.
What does this portal look like? If we're going to see it on Earth where it starts, is it a ring like in the Stargate program? What are we looking at?
These portals are bubbles. And
like an energy bubble?
They look like an energy bubble. And on the outside of it, if you've ever looked at a hot highway and you've got that...
The
mirage effect coming up off the heat of the highway, you have that all around it. And it is not a flat, like a wall, like a flat thing you walk into. You can walk into it from two different directions, or 360 degree directions. People can walk into it from those directions, and then on the other side they'll be coming out in 360 degrees those directions.
Wow. Would you have to cross in, like if you're going to walk into the bubble, would you walk in on, let's say, the 6 o'clock part and then walk out on the 12 o'clock part? Like you got to walk through the bubble and come out the other side, or could you?
Your point of view is totally skewed once you walk in.
Oh.
So once you walk in, you have no idea from your base of reference when you come out. You just walk into this basic bubble. You walk in, and then as you do, it's a strange sensation of, I don't know how to describe it. It's a strange sensation, and you are going in, and then you're being pulled in at the same time, and then you collapse into it. And then you pop out on the other side.
Is there a sense of duration as this takes place?
No. Not like in Stargate where there's this, you're going through this ring, this tube. There was none of that sensation.
It's a very rapid compression and expansion?
Right. And it does affect you. They give people shots and stuff to help them with the effects, but it's similar if, like, if you put a very strong magnet close to your brain, how it gives you a real nauseated, confused feeling. You kind of have that.
Yeah, Henry Deacon actually said they gave him something he called Lorentzil, as a supplement or drug that he took to try to ease off what he was calling transdimensional disorder. You called it temporal dementia, but very similar terms.
Yeah, and when they would transport a bunch of items, they would put the items in the area where the bubble would appear, and then the bubble would pop up, and the bubble would be one size, and then you would see things kind of almost like they're melting, going into the portal.
Really?
Uh-huh. And then they would pop out on the other side.
How fast would that motion look?
Very quick.
Huh.
Depending on the density and the size of what was there.
It's almost like something getting sucked into a bubble, like just whoosh,
or going down
through
a
straw.
Going down a drain.
Wow.
Yeah.
Let's go into that room for a minute where the portal is. I'm assuming this is indoors. You're not going to do this out in the open.
No, a lot of the times it's out in the open.
Oh, really?
Yeah, these natural portals, sometimes they appear in the upper atmosphere. Sometimes they appear above the ground, underground. They jump all around the planet, along the grid system of the planet. Now, there are some of the ancient, what the people have talked about, the United States going into the Middle East to secure some of this ancient technology, these portals.
Like in Iraq.
Mm-hmm. These are actual devices that have taken all of the guesswork out of using the natural portals. They're technology that uses like point-to-point protocols to be able to send people and items safely. So that's a technology that exploits the natural portal system. There's a natural portal system that is occurring all around us right now. And they used to use intuitive empaths to help figure out where these portals were going to appear and for how long. But then they had artificial intelligence to help them with that.
The Germans were using natural portals, and they would know where the portal was going to be and that it was going to go to Mars, and then they'd line up all their tanks or whatever in that spot when it was going to appear?
Right, and it wasn't always a lot of tanks, but they would utilize one area that they knew was consistent, and through this mathematics model that was handed to them, and with help provided to them through extraterrestrial allies, started using these natural portal systems in a very early and untechnical way before we started developing out what we use now.
When we look at something like Stonehenge, is that a natural stone means of harnessing and exploiting these natural stargates? Does that help to attract them?
That's exploiting and harnessing the natural energy grid of the planet, but not necessarily having to do with portals.
Hmm.
Not necessarily having to do with portals.
I'm curious about the Germans, though. Obviously, there's some mystery in what you're telling us right now. Did they have some kind of antennas or technical devices that maybe they put in a ring or something that they can help to stabilize this bubble with? Is there any technology that they would build that was involved in making sure this thing works?
Not in the very beginning.
Really? Nothing in the beginning?
In the very beginning, they were using the raw natural portal systems. This is the very beginning. Then they started using the mathematics models to use electromagnetic fields and torsion to create torsion, point-to-point torsion fields between the two points. To torsion is a spinning field.
Yep.
On each side, they would create them at the same time to each side spinning in the opposite direction.
Okay.
But to stabilize the and keep the
just to keep it running.
To keep the whole or the point-to-point hole open longer. But our arrival there has thrown off the balance, and even in more current, closer to current era, caused the insectoids and the reptilians that are there to go have more problems with each other and problems with the new arrival humans, Earth humans.
You'd mentioned 40 main groups on the Super Federation conference that have 22 genetic programs running on Earth, and that they have a massive series of encampments on the backside of the moon, and they all have it regionalized into their own little domain. Do those 40 main groups also have regions on Mars that are their own territory?
I've heard a few of them have a presence on Mars, but Mars, they mostly have presences on moons and around gas giants and on other planetoids and moons.
Hmm.
Mars, they're not so much on Mars.
So Mars is sort of like its own little parochial district with its own gangs and infighting and members-only clubs.
Right. That's, as usual, us humans, we decided to hop over there and plant a flag and started taking over territory.
Now,
threw off the equilibrium and the balance that was there.
You said there were several false starts of where the Germans tried to build when they did it around the equator.
Around the equator and in a few other places where they built in the wrong place and ticked off the wrong groups and ended up being overrun and having and losing entire settlements. These were small at the time, and the people in them.
And when you say small, what are we talking? Like, how many people would be
dozens.
Working there? Okay. What is the first that you know of successful settlement that wasn't in a bad area and didn't get wiped out?
These started to occur in the late 50s. The successful, when the United States really started getting the military-industrial complex, the corporations that are this complex, fully got behind the Germans and involved with the Germans, this is when they really started having successes and also the might to enforce and protect territory.
So we have obviously started to map out Mars, but I think there's a lot farther we could go in describing what has been done since these original settlements. Would you agree?
Yes. I would say what we've done so far is we have set a foundation for what, after the Germans and the U.S. industrial complex pretty much formed a union and formed what we call the Interplanetary Corporate Conglomerate, and moved out into the solar system and created a mass infrastructure and massively colonized Mars. We have basically set the foundation for that discussion.
Cool. Well, that's what we're going to be doing next time. We're going to take our space program colonization of Mars and really get into detail on the bringing it up to the present about how this enigmatic red planet has become a massive source of human habitation for this breakaway civilization.